please donate at 416-946-7800 or toll free 1-888-204-8976. You may also donate online at www.ciut.fm.
From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Tater Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to call it Kafia Junction. It's exciting times in the city of Toronto. It's one of the largest, most important demonstrations probably in modern times for the city and the country, actually. But today is fundraising day, so we're going to be talking about what has been going on. We were asking you, our happy listeners, to call us at 416-946-7800 or go online, ciut.fm, and donate. And I would tell you that we're sitting at 13,000 something, and we need to climb it up, do our part. We just have to blend this moment of advance by students and workers, kind of an old theme in history, and we have a tragic twist to it. We have lost Peter Rosenthal, who was a veteran of student movements and veteran of struggle against racism and imperialism. He was a great figure, particularly in the courtroom, fighting the fights for people who didn't have the means to defend themselves, both literally and figuratively. And Peter, we've lost him, and he was a regular good friend of the Tater Report and often our guest, and we miss him very much, just as we do other great figures, Charles Roach, who preceded him, and also a regular guest on the Tater Report. And as we are entering times where they set the stage, set the precedent for struggles that are taking place today in language and conduct and courage. This is a time when you really say to appreciate those who helped create the moment that we're living in now. And it is a remarkable historical moment. And a little later on in the show, we're going to play just a little bit of Bob Dylan saying, "Something's going on and you don't understand, Mr. Jones." Because when waves of this magnitude arrive, there's always signs of confusion at the top. This is CIUT. And again, I'll remind you, please call 416-946-7800. For $120, you get a really artistically designed T-shirt. You will stand out in any crowd. So please make it $120 and get yourself a T-shirt. And then go online. The best way to contribute is to go to ciut.fm, donate. And then please remember the Tater Report. Joining me are Phil Conlon, a regular gentleman.
Good morning.
And a stranger, Tony Leo, who is a uniform militant, but he's also a veteran of, years accumulate, a veteran of student movements and anti-colonial movements. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hi, Phil.
And we're located, it's no secret, at University of Toronto campus. Something big happened. It started this morning at 8 o'clock. Tony, if you would, here's what startled me. I noticed online that the Ontario Federation of Labor had said something that made me sit up in my chair because they were not known for the kind of statement they made, but they were addressing the issue of the attempt to shut down the encampment at the University of Toronto in protest against the bomb destruction of Gaza. And many heroic students are there. The administration had said, well, time's up. And as Harry Glassbeck, the professor, was on our show last week, and he said, they fight for property and the students fight for principles. And it's not a lot in common between the two. So they thought that, okay, we just send you a little note. You must all leave. And the students said, we're not going to leave. Then the OFL said something. So, Tony, would you mind, could you read their statement?
I could read parts of the statement, perhaps.
The highlights, whatever
the highlights.
You choose.
The threat from the university administration was quite stark. They said that if the students didn't leave when they were told, they could be subject to a suspension or expulsion from the university, and that if any workers who worked on campus violated this edict from the administration, they were subject to sanctions up to firing. So it was a very draconian threat. And in response to that, the Ontario Federation of Labour issued a statement almost immediately saying that as the voice of Ontario's labour movement, the OFL unequivocally supports the right of students to engage in peaceful protest on campus as they call for a ceasefire and divestment from companies that are complicit in war and occupation. As trade unionists, we know what good faith bargaining looks like. You should too. They call out the university for refusing to engage in good faith bargaining with the students. And they say in the statement, by contrast, when administrators choose repression, it rightfully provokes a response well beyond the students. And I was quite struck that the OFL took pains to mention this, that on the previous Monday, thousands of academic workers at the University of California went on strike.
Strike.
Went on strike to protest their employer's use of violence to clear the encampments there. And the statement finishes up in a very strong way. It says that, quotes from the university's own statement of purpose, and it says, this is a mandate to support the students, not repress them. In this spirit, I urge you to reverse course immediately and choose negotiations and discussion over ultimatums and repression. As a gesture of encouragement, I'm calling on all trade unions and allies to join a solidarity rally on Monday at 8 a.m. at the student encampment at the University of Toronto. If, by then, you decide to move against the students, you'll have to go through the workers first.
Amazing. So. Amazing. That's why we chose something's going on and you don't understand, Mr. Jones, and you could add Mr. Taylor. I didn't see it coming. It is a remarkable statement. By the way, we've had donations and from Sheldon and David, and we are very grateful. You can call us at 946-7800. Of course, that's a 416 area. And we can go to best, the most efficient is online, www.ciut.fm, donate. Hit donate. Mention the Taylor Report. And before I go further, I'm going to say a great trade unionist that also we always remark on every year because she was such a great supporter of CIUT and of the Taylor Report, Karen Snooks. We always, each fundraiser, I know we hear from Ron Meswak, her husband, and they were co-fighters alongside the great Peter Leibovich, who was a distinguished himself in two unions. the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, where he was an outstanding figure and very, very much beloved, and of course the United Steelworkers in Hamilton. And Karen was an enthusiastic backer of the work of Peter, and of course was enthusiastic about the Taylor Report. That's why we ask you to call us up at 416-946-78, and best go to online, CIUT.fm, Taylor Report, donate, and then say you like the Taylor Report. Well, let's move to some action here. Both you gentlemen, and we might be joined by a third just a moment. And what do you know? We got. I should add Ron Meswek has contributed. I hope he got a T-shirt because it's a great T-shirt. Tony and Phil, you were both there this morning, 8 o'clock. By the way, I love Fred Hahn's message urging people to go. What was his closing line? Was be there, or I'll see you there? Or?
Yeah, he said something to that effect. That he
didn't,
urged people
he didn't
to
waste
attend,
words.
And
he didn't
said
waste
that,
any words.
That he was going to be there, and he was, and spoke very eloquently as he often does. I thought it was remarkable for the number of people who showed up at short notice from. Different unions, a wide range of
on
unions.
On a rainy day.
On a very rainy day, and stood for over 2 hours in the rain listening to speeches. The crowd was growing as it went on, as the rain got heavier. So that was a remarkable commitment. And a number of speakers said, you know, this is just the beginning. And we really had that sense that it was... the response from workers was very strong. You know, the fact that their leadership asked them to show up and that the leadership was there meant that a lot of workers from different unions showed up as well.
So, Phil, you were there as well.
Yes.
Phil Conlon, Classical Underground, Wednesday 6 to 8 p.m. And Tony said that they were saying this is the beginning. Do you recall some of the people who said that? Who were these union?
First of all, the president of the Ontario Federation of Labour, Laura Walton, said that, and she
bingo.
She reiterated the organizations of labour would be a barrier, a physical and political barrier between the University of Toronto and the students at the University of Toronto is threatening. And, of course, the university is threatening applications for injunctions because if you get the injunction, you go to the police with it and you just tell the police, do whatever you want, you know it's going to be very, very rough, right? In that regard, by the way, that the hearing to get the injunction, these injunctions used to be a given. The boss would walk in and ask for the injunction and the judge would say, where do I sign? But more recently,
it
hasn't been working that way. It certainly didn't work that way in Montreal. The judge refused an injunction when was requested by McGill. So the OFL announced that they were applying for intervener status at the hearing. Now, if the U of T was smart, they would say, okay, we agree. But they're not smart. They're not going to say that, right? So that's going to tie up a day arguing between whether or not the Ontario Federation of Labour is entitled to intervene. But of course, the judge would have to find that they are because they represent so many of the employees of the university, many unions, the steelworkers, and faculty associations, and CUPE, and OPSU, and even the little small union that I work for, Workers United. We have members on the University of Toronto campus. You know, so it's like...
You punch above your weight.
That's the idea.
That's a boxing expression. Doesn't mean a thing. Forget it.
It means a lot. So, you know, the labor movement, you might say, is punching above its weight this morning because, if I was looking at a thing from a police perspective, I would say I could just go and beat them all up, piece of cake. But it's not a piece of cake, and it will cause all kinds of headaches and problems for them. Just like it has in Alberta, by the way, where they took that approach, and they've had nothing but blowback ever since, right?
Well, and Tony read this thing about the University of California. Yeah. Now they're going to be dealing with organized labor.
In a big way.
And the idea of just sending the Hessians. I don't know. pick your worst. You know, and just beating people up and driving them off. Yeah. That they don't understand. They're fighting the people. Organized people, yeah, representing tens of thousands.
You know, one of the points that got made this morning in this speech was Aaron Mackey, who was on the Taylor Report a week ago and who gave a very, very focused speech on behalf of the people who were in the encampment, pointed out that the encampment included many diverse groups of people. And she said, you know, the U of T is using private property as their argument, right? She says, well, we have indigenous people in the encampment. He says, they're saying, well, it's not even U of T's land. It's our land.
It's not your
right?
property.
You know? And I have to say that the crowd really supported that and really, you know, so I mean, that's an issue. I'm sure these guys. Well,
this is called a can of worms. You want to open right. it? Yes.
The
guy said, why did you say you people? And then the black guy steps up to the actor and says, what do you mean, you people?
So one of the things was that Suzanne Weiss, who is a woman in her 80s, walks with difficulty, is with her husband, who also walks with difficulty. So they were delivered by car, but they weren't permitted on the campus. So somebody, of course, calls up, they tells the security guard, let me talk to your boss. And they talk to the head of security at U of T and say, well, listen, I have these two only partially abled senior citizens, and they walk with difficulty. And the guy says, too bad. So, no, they wouldn't let them in. So then they got out of their car, and in the rain, this pair of elderly people walked all the way up, and she gave a speech, right? And she gave a very strong speech and said, like many, many Jewish people, I've been a supporter of the Palestinian cause from day one, right? Yes. I mean, she's actually older than the State of Israel, and I think she meant it literally. You know?
Yeah.
It was a very nice moment, and also supported by a member of the Jewish Faculty Association, who is in the encampment, and she spoke, and she says, you know, people talk about anti-Semitism, but the anti-Semitism is being directed at the encampment, right? It's not, it's nobody, that's where it's coming from, you know? It's from people who were opposing us, you know? Yeah. So very strong.
Now, there's a lot of great, this is already producing some memorable speeches and articles. Yeah. Naomi Klein, I think, has really hit a home run, and people are going to refer to that. It's a historical moment. She really, she said, well, okay, it's time for exodus from Zionism, which... Oh my goodness, that is cat wow, amongst the chicken.
I have to say, before you go further,
I mean, we have to remind everybody what we're doing today. CIUT is already past 13,000. We are looking to add on heavily. This is the Taylor Report. We want you to go to 416-946-7800 and contribute to the station. Make it $120,000, and you get a beautiful T-shirt. As the show goes on, I'm going to be talking about how beautiful the shirt is. I think it's a trend.
You heard that right.
And then go online. Pardon me?
You asked for a contribution of $120,000, and we agree.
If you want to just top it up and get it over with, you just go ahead and give us $120,000. Yeah. But the goal is $100,000.
The goal is $100,000.
But we're looking... Taylor Report, pretty confident the station is so vital and so appreciated that we'll make $120,000. But right now, you got to join in, 416-946-7800. But go online, CIUT.fm, donate, mention the Taylor Report. We would be much obliged. I think we might have a bite of music. If we could, just a little taste of Dylan, which gives me a chance to clear my head, which is full of things.
You walk into the room with your pencil in your hand. You see somebody naked and you say, who is that man? You try so hard, but you don't understand just what you will say when you get home. Because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening.
Right.
And we're back. Listen, call us up, 416-946-7800. And go online, CIUT.FM, and donate and make it $120,000. Get yourself a T-shirt. A beautiful, beautiful T-shirt. And we, as I mentioned before, our goal is 100 grand. They used to say in the B-movies, got 100 grand. We're looking for 100 grand. And but we don't mind if you go way, way, way over the top there. So Jacob Leibovich, is steelworker staff, is also with us. Another witness to what occurred today. Tell me, give us your impression.
Sure. We've, as the Steelworkers Toronto Area Council, have been going to these demonstrations weekly, almost every week for since November. And what we noticed, of course, is that it was always a small contingent of labor folks at these rallies. Usually identifiable by their flags. And we were happy to be amongst the few and have certainly been trying to urge others in the labor movement to help build momentum to get out there and protest this genocide. Today, of course, we were all thrilled. I think Judy Revick said that she thought she had woken up and died when she saw that the OFL had called for workers to go put their bodies on the line to protect these students in these encampments. And I think we had a very sort of similar kind of expression of excitement when the OFL made the call. It was only 2 days ago. You know, it's hard to get people out on a Monday morning, but there were literally thousands out there.
Yeah, not your typical union presence.
No, not at all. and, you know, split between rank and file and leadership. And, of course, the our leader is Carolyn Egan. She's been on the scene politically for a very long time here in Toronto. And she gave a speech on behalf of the Steelwork organization, which includes the University of Toronto Staff Association, which is the largest steelworker local in North America, 1998, that represents 10,000 members here at U of T. And so the university, some weeks back, sent a letter out to their staff that are represented by Steel and others, saying that if they were shown to be showing support for the encampment, that they could face reprisals up to and including termination. The Steelwork organization very firmly pushed back against what they saw was a violation of their members' civil rights and ability to express
intimidation and threat.
And in no uncertain terms told the university if they didn't cease and desist that they would be subject to labor board complaint. Things went calm, but now of course we're in this new round where the administration has said everybody's got to go, but the steelworkers remain committed to defending their members' right to protest. One way or the other, but certainly we're going to continue to participate and build for these demonstrations.
Yeah, you're all about to make some history as this unfolds because, the OFL laid it on the line and they said, you have to go through us. Obviously, that's not something you say and you don't back up. They're going to be going, they've asked for this injunction. Tony, you have any thoughts about that? When you did any speakers address the fact that the university kind of at the last moment called for the injunction, right? Because they first said, okay, be out of there Monday at 8 o'clock. But then this happened. They changed course a little bit and said, we're going for an injunction.
Yeah, and a couple of the speakers mentioned the injunction. Of course, it's news of it broke late. But clearly the encampment and their supporters are going to oppose it vigorously. As Phil mentioned earlier, the OFL has already announced that they're going to apply for intervener status, which means that they're going to put up a strong resistance to it. I just want to mention that The University of California also applied for an injunction to end the strike there, which is being carried out by UAW Local 4811, 48,000 members.
Let's say the number, 48,000.
48,000 student workers on the different University of California campuses are engaged in a kind of a rolling strike. Modeled on what the UAW did with the auto companies, they've been calling different campuses out on strike in turn. It's put incredible pressure on the university administration. They applied for an injunction to end the strike, and 2 days ago the injunction was denied by the courts. So I don't think, and of course, as was mentioned in Montreal, the injunction application from McGill was denied. So this is not a slam dunk. Universities are public institutions, and that was talked about at the rally today. It's money from the citizens.
It emerged. Whose school is this?
Whose school
is it? Does it belong to people, anonymous donors, as Harry Glansbeck said, or to the community? They seem to think it belongs to the donors, actually.
They do seem and to think that.
So we have to send them to school, don't we? We have to have them study a little bit.
So really things are ratcheting up. It is becoming more intense. The support for it is becoming broader. And anything that they do, any action they take against the encampment, of course, is going to inflame it even more. And that was a really clear sense of the crowd today. They showed up on very short notice, but and they will again, and they will continue to build support.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one point to add to yours, Tony. We saw some new unions come out today, unions we haven't seen typically at the rallies each day, and you can see that there's definitely from the messaging there's a reaction happening now to the crackdown, to these idea that they can just go in and clear out. And so I think on the issue of just freedom of protest, freedom of expression, freedom to be political.
That's almost a unique idea in current culture.
You're seeing it's bringing people in. They may not have like an in-depth understanding of the issues that are happening in Palestine at the moment, but they are certainly not happy with the way that their rulers are.
Right, and we should mention some of the unions, like United Food and Commercial Workers spoke, as well as steel workers and QP. The leader of the Ontario Public Service Employees Union spoke. These are real steps forward. And Laura Walton, the president of the OFL, said, we have to answer. She says, we've been getting lots of questions. We have to answer some of them. And people say, why should I, as the OFL president, be talking about issues in other countries or issues like this? And she said, we have to tell people that it is a workers' issue, and that the students and workers have common cause in these broader issues and making a better world. And by exercising our power, the power that students and workers have together, we can change the world.
Well, indeed. And of course, they're finding out that in a society where we have monopoly capitalists running the place, they don't know the public is out there except as servants. So the only way to say we don't really serve you unless we want to is to stand in front of them and say, guess what? Nothing's happening today because we're all here to make some demands.
It's time to... To pick up on what Tony was saying, many of the speakers pointed out that when the OFL says it represents workers in Ontario, it represents all workers in Ontario, many of whom have relatives in Gaza, have had family members killed in the ongoing genocide, right? And they said that they're our responsibility because the families of our members are something we're concerned with, right?
Yes. And universities have been destroyed. The University of Gaza was obliterated, right. And that was not a target. There was not a military target. It was blown up when there was no one there. But they blew it up to symbolically say, we're going to crush you. This is pretty clear. By the way, that message is getting across to the millions of people who just live on the earth and watch television or go online. They know the truth. And they are very angry. And they have very few politicians with the guts or the integrity to stand up for their point of view. Although we see signs in Parliament, including in our federal Parliament, NDPers with the keffiyeh voting with their fists, which was pretty impressive. Nobody talk about waking up and being shocked. That was me. It's time to remind you that we want you to go to 416-978-7800 and donate, contribute to the fundraiser, get us over $100,000 for the station. And best way is go online, CIUT.fm, donate, and then mention the Taylor Report. We would be very much obliged. And you, with $120, would be the possessor of a grand, wonderful, beautiful T-shirt. So further on this, we were what's going on here today? The students, by the way, we were very impressed. Aaron Mackey came in here. And I have to say, the quality of the leadership of this movement, and all of us here in the room are veterans of various movements, is, to me, absolutely remarkable. They're well-spoken. They have command of the file, as the lawyers say. They know the issue, and they know how to put the point over, and they know how to conduct themselves. We lived through times when that was not always true. And by the way, we have Jacob Leibovich here. His father, Peter Leibovich, was once occupied a building at Sir George Williams, it was called, because of the demonstration and all. It's not called that anymore. At least they changed the name of the school. That was a terrible, arrogant move by the administration and the city and everybody else. And they paid for that because that led to tremendous student, powerful student movements. And we're very proud that Peter Leibovich was a good friend and stood with us and became a labor leader of great significance in the history of labor movement in Canada. Call us at 416-946-7800 and go online to simplify it to CIUT.fm, donate, and mention the Taylor Report, and we would be very grateful. And the goal is $100,000, and the Taylor Report wants to make sure we make a heavy contribution to it. We have so many great programs. We have like Ruby Slippers, and a good friend of our program, and everybody loves that show. I mean, but that's just an example of the kind of programming we have.
Phil, can I just mention some thanks to Wilbert and Gabriella, Sheldon and David for your contributions. And we're over $14,000 now. We're approaching $15,000. So even just since we started this program, we've had some progress. And our goal is $100,000.
And whoa. I'm impressed.
Yeah. By the way, we want listeners to know is if you give $500 or more, you will be invited to do your own one-time two-hour production, which will be assisted by the very able staff and volunteers at U of T to put on a good show. That's for a $500 contribution. And, of course, a $500 contribution, a couple of those, and we're well on our way toward our goal of $120,000.
Yeah. On this matter, and now we'll invite Jacob and Tony to jump in if they would like. The one thing that's happening is the struggle leaped. You could say it started with the destruction, the attempt to destroy and the Gaza and to, well, I closed at that time, the Gaza and the attempt to move, transfer the population, all these things, but that's genocide, by the way. I mean, it's before the World Court, the ICJ, the International Court of Justice. So many countries spoke to this point. So this has been internationalized, and here we have unions and students all getting to know each other. I mean, who was talking about the UAW, University of California, before this? I mean, we were aware of it. Tony was, of course, a labor historian, et cetera, but he was aware. But now the unions are talking to each other, And so if they, you know, want to be play heavy here, there'll be other unions in other countries that actually will join in, longshore style, like the West Coast longshoremen, who, you know, they fought apartheid in South Africa, and they've been part of this. And when I say part of it, they've been they take action, and you could predict it likely will happen. Again, 416-946-7800, CIUT.fm, donate and mention the Taylor Report. On that point, Jacob, are you aware of, I mean, what kind of communications, for example, does the steel workers and the OFL, are you aware of their being in touch with other movements and other unions elsewhere?
I know for a fact that there's a lot of inspiration being taken from the United Auto Workers, Sean Fain's public positions, their commitment to really putting their bodies on the line for the politics that they're articulating. And I think that that's had a real sort of inspirational effect on the folks here around labor who have been probably a little disappointed with leadership at higher levels or leadership that's remained silent for this period of time. I think what was interesting about the demonstration today and has been my experience is each time someone gets up and says something that takes it a little further beyond just a simple message of we're here out of solidarity, but actually articulates the message in a way that shows real solidarity for the Palestinians and what they're going through, the crowd goes wild. And I think that they find that to be true at local meetings or wherever the issue gets discussed. I know in Steele, Area Council does a meeting once a month. The issue came up. A resolution was passed unanimously. That resolution was passed on to locals and Toronto Labour Council. And so you can see that that network is starting to build, even if there maybe had been some initial fear that there are those who support what Israel's doing, as hard as it may be to contemplate, and they may be vocal, they're very small, and that the majority of people see the hypocrisy and want their leadership to say something that makes sense to them. And when they do, they get a lot of support for it.
Yeah. Tony, how about yourself? You're UAW. Your uniform, but you are fraternal to UAW.
Yes.
And they're close to being in alignment on this issue. I mean, a UNIFOR has spoken out for a long time, by the way.
Yes, the leadership of UNIFOR has supported Freedom for Palestine and endorsed BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions probably 7 or 8 years ago. Actually, it was a resolution from my local that went to the UNIFOR Canadian Council that was adopted around 2017. So there has been support, and the leader of UNIFOR has supported the encampments. So that, you know, I think that that's really true, that on this issue, it really is starting to create movement at the leadership level of the labor movement and the membership level. I was really moved by a number of the speakers today that talked about their personal experience. So we had Palestinian unionists and Palestinian students talking about what is happening to members of their own family, and the numbers, unbelievable numbers of their own family members who have been killed in this recent onslaught in Gaza. One of the early speakers, a student named Miriam, was talking about her family's generations of time in Gaza. She has never been to Gaza, but she knows from her parents and her grandparents and what they're experiencing. And she talked about some of her family members who have been killed. And I looked around, I saw people in the crowd wiping tears away when she was speaking. It really is about recognizing basic humanity.
Yes.
That connection of, you know, that people do have their family connections. And they are students and workers on campus and members of the labor movement. And people should care about what happens to them and their families. That is what solidarity is really about, that an injury, as was said by one of the speakers today, an injury to a worker anywhere.
Anywhere.
Is, you know, an injury to us here. Yes. We have to deal with it that way.
I think, you know, the language is going to be affected by this, because when you start talking in solidarity and when you identify the crimes and the brutality, people are going to be saying different things. It's like this issue with the keffiyeh. Well, in a way, it was not a big deal. But when you see people whose national identity is related to that and they are being crushed, people say, give me a keffiyeh, because they don't need any political instructions from any, you know, esoteric space. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT. Go to CIUT.fm and contribute. And get yourself a T-shirt, $120, and you'll be part of the operation. 416-946-7800. And Bill Heffernan, thank you very, very much. By the way, I think it includes also Steve Fruitman, who is going to be coming up a little later, 33-45-78, on this fundraising day for CIUT and fundraising, and it's been raining, and big things are going on. I guess Phil and Tony, both of you might know, and Jacob could join if he does. This injunction question, how quickly are such things acted on?
Well, of course, if you have the police all lined up, and I think that the U of T administration would, they just give a call and they say, okay, go for it. We have the injunction. The problem is that the injunction has to be written in a certain form. But the U of T is, we were told this morning they have 20 lawyers working on this. Getting
20.
This 20, right?
The donors seem to be having deep pockets.
Yeah, right. So
when it comes to their property.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of those lawyers are donors, right?
Or yeah. Not to the Taylor Report.
So,
the Taylor Report.
No, we haven't seen. We have not seen any. We don't know what law firm they're using. But
by the way, if they want to sneak out and give us some money,
they'll take it, because they may
have a conscience. Yeah. One or two of them probably have a conscience.
But Erin Mackey pointed out, she says that the law firm they're using is a notorious union-busting law firm. I thought, well, that's interesting.
That was a student who pointed that out.
Yeah. And she said it again this morning. So, I mean, I'm dying to know what the firm is, because although they're more or less all the same on a job like this. But the intervention by the Ontario Federation of Labour is not something that I don't think the judge is going to laugh off. Because of course, we don't know what judges are going to get, and sometimes that's the luck of the draw. But these people don't always get their way. As Tony mentioned, in Montreal, yeah, they didn't get their way.
There's
right?
a proverb, judges read newspapers.
Oh, that's a good proverb. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of them are standing somewhere with their wet finger in the air trying to figure this out.
Yeah,
because they have their own careers. Jacob wants to say something. Just move it over. Thank you.
Erin, when she was talking about the injunction, the two points that she made was, one, the hearing's not until tomorrow.
Right.
So that gives us at least 24 hours. She did mention that the OFL is going to intervene, but then was also said that other unions are contemplating it, thinking about it, may do it. So it's also possible that list will grow beyond OFL.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, the Federation has its own particular take that would justify them being an intervener. So would CUPE, so would OPSU, so would STEEL, so would the various faculty associations. Fred Hahn, by the way, pointed out that more than half of the classroom instruction at the U of T is done by CUPE members, because, you know, now they use professors to just go and write books, and they hire these very poorly paid teaching assistants to do the legwork of actually educating the undergraduates. They're CUPE members.
That's
right?
How committed they are to,
right, to
higher
education.
It's lowest pay for the, Tony, I think we might remind them that the judge in Quebec He also heard, it wasn't he, pardon me, the court, they heard from unions there. And there's a Unifor local at McMaster. They participated. But they get on this injunction business. They made some of the stronger arguments. It wasn't just students at all. I mean, it was because, like as Phil mentioned, this is a common issue.
Right. An injunction application actually can take quite a lot of time in court. There'd be lots of witnesses and arguments back and forth. What could be immediate would be an application for an interim injunction, or in other words, an immediate order to act prior to going through all of the legal arguments of the injunction itself. And that's what was rejected in Montreal. The application for an interim injunction, because the court ruled there was no immediate necessity to act. Yeah. There was no irreparable harm was going to happen immediately. And I think that's likely to be the case with the University of Toronto as well. I mean, it's very clear that what the encampment has been peaceful. Yes. And orderly.
And they're aware that there are people who would like to make provocation in order to set the basis to remove everybody. Which was what happened at UCLA. Yeah. They allowed the reactionary, racist, bigoted people to attack peaceful demonstrators, allowed them to beat them, set fire to things, destroy things. Then they came in and arrested the demonstrators, the peaceful demonstrators. Yeah. So, and I have to tell them, everybody saw that, guys. And so now you're in for a bigger fight. You know, the bullies eventually are brought down because people, you know, the bully is the least popular character in town.
It was also pointed out today that the administration themselves obstructed access to the King's College Circle for 3 years to install a parking lot underneath it. You know, so
that was serious obstruction.
That was really serious obstruction. Yeah. I do want to, if I have
before
a minute.
Before you do, let me quickly say 946-7800. Support this great station, CIUT, and get yourself a $120,000 beautiful T-shirt. You can go to CIUT.fm and donate, and mention the Taylor Report, if you would. Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, I wanted to go back briefly to the speaker from the Jewish Faculty Network, because I think she made some really important points. First of all, she pointed out she was the third Jewish speaker at the rally today. That doesn't often get reflected in the media, the strong level of support.
No, they're starting dirty stuff, calling them token. I mean, this is really getting insulting.
Yes, and she spoke specifically to that. She said the university's argument has to do with safety. She says what's making her feel unsafe is threats to her from her own administration, from her employer, that people can be fired.
People have been fired.
And that representatives of her employer, members of the governing body of the University of Toronto, have been quoted in the media implying that she and other Jewish supporters of the encampment are somehow not real Jews or supporters of Nazis or terrorists. She says that's what makes me feel unsafe.
Yes.
And she pointed out that it's absolutely ridiculous to imply in some way that it's an infringement on academic freedom to try to hold the authorities to account for supporting, funds for militarization and genocide. And she said it's not anti-Semitic to support Palestinian freedom. So I think that, you know, that really added some depth of understanding to the issues for the people who were there.
I'm really glad she spoke on it. And again, Naomi Klein also took that theme up. Harry Glasspiegel on this show last week spoke to these matters. You know, Harry Glasspiegel, it's no secret, had to be hidden in France from the Nazis. And he survived because of the solidarity of people. As he said, he thought they were probably communists. and he addressed that there isn't any fear factor. And by the way, I recommend Canadian Dimension and his articles there, and it's been published in Monthly Review Press. Speaking just to the points that Tony mentioned, by the way, this is the Taylor Report. We want to tell you we had 14,900 and something. So do your best, will you? We want to make. We would like to hit the 15,000. Actually, and I mentioned, if there are any hidden friends amongst the billionaires, go ahead and fill out the whole thing. Just put a check there. Do people write checks anymore? Anyway, give us $100,000. One thing quickly before we go back to the subject is I want to mention that Peter Rosenthal, who was a good friend of the program and was a tremendous individual, fought many great battles. One of the great battles was at the University of Toronto, where there was discrimination against Asian Canadians, particularly they focused on Chinese. There was a movement trying to put limits on the Chinese Canadians in medical school and elsewhere. And Peter Rosenthal became the lawyer and spokesman, and one of them for the cause. And there was a program called W5 that did the whole thing. It was bigoted. And there was a crowd in front of W5, huge crowd. And the Chinese Canadians made it very clear that this was going to be the end of W5, or at least their producers, directors, and they were all knocked out. And I even was a good friend of the guy who succeeded him, but we won't go into that. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. We are at 14,900 and something, and I'm telling you, please, 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 get us to 1,500, and go to CIUT.fm, donate, Taylor Report. By the way, are the demonstrators, and Jacob is going to ask you next, Jacob Leavitt, are they talking about further demonstration? What did they kind of prepare the crowd or start talking about what they'll do?
Yeah, Laura put it really well, I think, when she said solidarity is a verb. So I think at this point
somebody's been reading books.
I think at this point what they're doing is making sure that we're ready to show up when the call comes.
So it's actions. In other words, be ready.
Be ready. And the word will go out quickly and people will come down and certainly put themselves in the way. I just wanted to pick up on something that Tony said about the three Jewish speakers. Zoe was the last from the Faculty Association. And she put it really well, and I thought it was worth repeating that each of the three Jewish speakers today made the same point. They all took a moment to point out that the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism is so very problematic for Jews who practice their faith by resisting injustice. And that once you say that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic, you immediately put all those Jewish people who act out of faith on the other side of that issue, and can be actually an exercise of anti-Semitism.
Please call us or go online, 416-946-7800. I'll say this once, 888-204-8976 or CIUT.fm, hit the donate button. Phil, if you don't mind, I'd like to put in a word for our old friend Sid Ryan, who has been a guest on our show many times.
Sid was there.
And of course, there has been a major development in international politics in the past week, which is that the
Ireland.
Yeah. There is a breaking in the ranks of the so-called Western nations in their unqualified support of the positions of the Israeli government. Ireland, Norway, and Spain, very different countries, all for their own reasons.
They're not Anglo-Saxons.
That's a good place to start.
They don't speak English.
They're not Anglo-Saxons. And they have all open diplomatic relations with Palestine. This is a huge blow to the Israeli myth, right? So just to let you know that, but Sid talked about why the Irish people are so supportive of Palestine, and he linked it to the Irish long fight against British colonialism. It was amazing the support.
This
and the
is a Sid moment.
I mean, this was a real Sid moment, and I thought, well, okay, we got all these people standing in the rain. Let's give them a little education about world history, and it was marvelous. It was he quoted two great Irish heroes, Bobby Sands and Robert Emmet, and it was a great moment.
You know, we remember, with Michael Quigley and others, David Patterson, others. We were part of the Bobby Sands march when we carried the coffin, and thousands of people were there. Sid was there, of course. It was an Irish event. Sid is at the front. By the way, we are over 15,000, but that don't stop. Aladina Latif, thank you. We're headed in the right direction. We're very confident, but we need 100,000. And in the next 3 minutes, we're going to be talking about all these things. You have plenty of time to go to CIUT.fm, contribute, donate, hit the donate button, say magic words, Taylor Report. And if you make it 120, you're going to end up with a gorgeous T-shirt. So we're on this theme, what will happen next, and you say, I assume Sid, and it was the leader of the OFL.
Is Laura Walton.
Yeah, Laura Walton. Yeah.
Laura. By the way, she's a, you might say she was the first Robin of Spring when she was leading a union that they took to the streets in response to the...
Well, she stared down Ford.
Doug Ford,
when he used the notwithstanding clause to crush the educational assistance, and she won, and Doug Ford lost.
The people really loved the way she handled it and the way she spoke. It was the language she chose and her demeanor. It really has been a shot in the arm, actually, to the labor movement. And fantastic that she should be here today speaking to OFL at the center of the University of Toronto campus, which has become kafia country. I think there were a lot of kafias, am I right?
There were.
Tony has a kafia, which means that he cannot be elected and be sit in the legislature. So he's very proud of not being able to serve. But we're trying to change that.
I want to make a shout out for one of the demonstrators, who was an Indigenous woman who had a toy drum, and I confirmed with her that it was actually a toy. She said she bought it secondhand on the Facebook, and she was listening to the speeches. I mean, and she's pounding along in time with the cadence or the rhythm of the speech, and it just really energized the whole thing. And she did it for the entire length of the rally. It was amazing.
So that's an impetus. You're telling us, listen, from now on, everybody in the Taylor Report land, CIUT land, get to these demonstrations because they become cultural festivals, and you will learn as much in 1 hour as you would have learned for a year or two in the library, because things move very quickly. This is the Taylor Report. We're coming down to the end of it. We've got over the 15,000. Thank you very, very much. You still can go to 416-946-7800. Of course, you can go all day long, Dave. 416-946-7800. And go to CIUT.fm, donate. I want to thank Jacob, Tony, and Phil, and get ready for 33, 45, 78, Steve Fruitman is coming up.